Take your Bible to turn to Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. We've been going through a series, and we will continue it next week, on invitations in the Bible. 2 weeks ago, we started this series, and we started off with come into the ark in Genesis. Last week, the nation of Israel was out in the wilderness, and some of Moses' kinfolk came, and the invitation was come with us. And folks, we should want everyone to come with us to heaven. Today we're going to be looking at Isaiah chapter 1, verses 16 through 18, and about come and be clean. Come and be clean. Very familiar passage, but it's something that we need today. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for your truth. We thank you for your word. We ask that your Holy Spirit would have full reign right now, Lord, that your truth would ring in our hearts, Lord, it would change us. Father, help us to leave this place with the joy that you give in our heart. Help us, Lord, to leave this place with the truth that you give us to be in our heart. Help us, Lord, to have the peace that you can give us in our heart today. Father, we ask that you just take away all distractions. Father, help us, Lord, to follow your word. Help us, Lord, to live it. Help us, Lord, to be surrendered to it. May your Holy Spirit have full power and full way today. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In Isaiah chapter 1, verses 16 through 18, the Bible says this. It says, wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. See, these are things that God wants us to do. He wants us to cease to do evil. He wants us to learn to do well. He wants us to seek judgment. He wants us to relieve the oppressed. He wants us to judge the fatherless. He wants us to plead for the widow, but you can only do that if you're in right standing with him. In the nation of Israel that time, and some of us today may not be in right relationship with Christ, we can't do these things. You can't do these things unless your heart is right with God. And so God tells Isaiah to write verse 18, which is our key verse. He says, come now. There's the invitation. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. You know, it's an interesting thing that this is actually... it's strange that God is inviting people to come to him. The psalmist says that we're not supposed to forget his benefits. When we see the creation that he's given for us, when we see the love that he makes available for all of us, for the salvation, we should be knocking down his door. Him not knocking on our door. It's an interesting thing, you know, that God seeks us before we seek him. John says here in his love, not that we first loved God, but that he first loved us and gave himself to be a payment or a propitiation for our sin. In Luke chapter 19, verse 10, this is the heart of God. It says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that was lost. God sent his Son to the earth to seek and to save you, to seek and to save me, to seek and to save us, and all who would come to him. So he says, come now and let us reason together. God's inviting people to come to him. Isaiah calls us to invite people to come and be clean. What a wonderful invitation. Now, how many in here likes to be dirty? When I go out, I mow my yard in the summertime, and I'm drenched with sweat. My wife wouldn't even come near me. I can't even get her to help me take my t-shirt off. But the issue is because I want to be clean. I don't want to be sweaty and grimy and all that other stuff. Folks, as Christians, we should not want to be dirty. We should not want to be sinful. We need to be holy. We need to be approachable instead of not being approachable. The issue is, it's a wonderful invitation, one that God has given you today. It's an invitation that's still being extended. It was extended back in Isaiah's time. It's extended today, and it'll be extended in the future. And Christ returns and puts everything in order, and then it'll still be extended. It is the heart of God. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But in the church setting, it's an invitation to make the church worthy. Come and be clean. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, talking about the bride of Christ, talking about the church, talking about us, that He, Christ, may sanctify and cleanse it, us, with what? The washing of water by the Word. Oh, this morning, folks, I want the truth and the water of the Word to wash us today. I want it to change us. So as we look in this passage this morning, what is this invitation all about? Well, first of all, it's an invitation to reason at an unreasonable time. I would think that it's clearly seen out in the world today that this is an unreasonable time. He says here in verse 18, he says, come and let us reason together. This was a nation that was in deep, deep trouble. Folks, you know, they take polls. Are we better off today than we are yesterday? And I would say most of us would say no. My question this morning, church, are we more spiritual today than we were yesterday? If we can't say yes, then we're in deep, deep trouble. And that's who God is addressing today. The people had rebelled against the Lord. Now we go up a couple verses up in a chapter, and we can kind of see the setting that brings God to give us this invitation to come and be clean. In verses 2 and 4 of Isaiah chapter 1, he says, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. Christ is announcing that to everyone. God is announcing that to everyone. That includes us. Are we hearing the word today? He says, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel does not know. My people do not consider. You know, in Psalms it says that the Lord looks down from above, and he says on the men, and he asks, is there any that see? Is there anyone that what? Understands. Verse 4, he says, ah, sinful nation, a people laden or burdened with iniquity, a seed of evildoers. It's not just them, they're creating more. It's creating more. It's a seed of evildoers. Children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel into anger, and they are gone away backward. You say, well, that's back then. Well, go read 2 Timothy chapter 3. Go read Romans chapter 1. And we're in the same state today. Turn on the news and ask yourself, is this a Christian nation? Or is this a sinful nation? They chose not to think about God. You know, we do have a choice. You have a choice to choose God and think about Him, or a choice not to. There are consequences either way. Sin was rampant. Corruption was everywhere. The issue is, God had given them invitation. He has sent them prophets. Isaiah is one in the line of prophets that's going to come to Israel to talk about what they need. They had not responded to chastening. Now, no one wants to get punished. But I tell you what, if we're not corrected, I guarantee you we will rebel. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews, it says, despise not the chastening of the Lord. But Israel had just said, oh, I just keep on doing my own thing. I just keep on going my own way. In verse 5 of Isaiah 1, it says, why should you be stricken anymore? Isaiah is telling the nation, he says, look, I've told you over and over again. You know what the truth is? You don't do it. Oh, you're a sinful nation. You need revival. You need a change. He says, will you revolt more and more? And then he goes on and says that the whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. They don't have the joy down in their heart. They don't have the peace that passes understanding down in their heart. They don't have the love of Jesus down in their heart. Their heart's divided. Their mind is split, unstable in all their ways. See, they were a sin-sick people. Maybe today you're struggling. Maybe today you're struggling with something in your life. You can get that straight today. God's reaching out His hand. He says, come! Let us reason it. Come! And let us be clean. In the fact of all this rebellion, in the sight of all this, God's invitation was still there. God still invited them to come and reason together. I don't know your circumstances, but I do know this. I know there's a God. And I know He loves us. And I know He sent His Son to die on the cross for us. And I know He gives us eternal life. And I know He will forgive sin. And I know He wants us to be a holy and a peculiar people. And I know that He wants us to be conformed to His image. And God continues to offer that invitation as long as it takes. As long as it takes. Don't pass it up today. Now, Paul uses the illustration of Israel, the nation of Israel, as a picture in Romans. In Romans chapter 10, he says, I wish I'd give my life for my brethren. He says, you all rejected the Savior. And in Romans chapter 10, which is the great salvation verses, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How shall they hear unless there's a preacher? If we confess our sins, okay? If we believe in our heart, God's going to raise us from the dead. But in the end of that chapter, he writes this. He says, but to Israel, he saith, referring to this time right here, he says, all day long I stretch forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. He says, why should you be stricken anymore? Will you revolt any more than you have already? Why am I doing this? Because He loves us. Because He loves us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not what? Perish, but have everlasting life. They can have life abundantly. They can have joy unspeakable. So this is an invitation from God to reason at an unreasonable time. You may think it's unreasonable, but God doesn't think so. What love does He have for us that He continues to invite us to come to Him? Secondly, is an invitation from God at an ungodly time. In verse 18, it says, saith the Lord, God called to those who had forsaken them. He says, you're a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corrupters. They've what? Forsaken the Lord God. They provoked the Holy One of Israel, the one that was their God, to anger. in verses 9 and 10. The state of the nation, the state of God's chosen people, reminded Isaiah of Sodom and Gomorrah. In verses 9 and 10, he says, "Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant." If you remember the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot, Abraham's nephew, was in there. And Abraham was told by God that Sodom and Gomorrah was going to be destroyed because of their wickedness. And Abraham brought and interceded and basically got God to say if there was just 10 people in those cities, he would spare them. Verse 9, it says, "Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah." There's two messages here. The first one is for the wicked to get back on right standing with God, for us to repent. But here's the message I have for you. Well, this, I'm doing everything I can. I'm trying to live my life for God. Then what I want to tell you today is don't give in. Don't give up. Don't become one of them. Stand, be separate. Because you're having a staying influence on judgment. And we can see that in the New Testament too. So he says, "Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant. We should have been in Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah." He goes on and says, even their feast were an abomination. Yesterday, a young man stopped by. I was out in the parking lot offering prayer. 17 years old. Goes to church. Teaches kids. And he talks about these relationships that he's having. Which girlfriend do I need to pick? And I went, the issue is your relationships are wrong. Come to find out that his relationships were physically based and not spiritually based. And I said, relationships should cause us to grow closer to God. You need to look at everybody as an opportunity to minister to God. You need to look at everybody as an opportunity to grow in your faith instead of what you can get. Then I asked him the question, "Have you saved?" And he said, "I don't know if I'm going to heaven or not." He shared the gospel with him, and then all of a sudden he had an appointment he had to go to, and he left. But as he left, I said, "You need to go talk to your pastor, and you need to ask him, how can I know I can get to heaven?" But I fear that churches are filled with people that say they know God, but they don't know Him. Because they don't know Him because of their lifestyle. The Bible says very clearly in Ephesians the things that not even expected to be mentioned among the saints. But it's rampant today. This is Old Testament. No, it applies to the church today.
Right. Amen.
Maybe the reason churches don't have power today is because of the sin that's in the camp. Maybe because we don't have the ability to go out and witness is because we're actually rebelling against God. In verses 10, 11, and 14, God, talking through Isaiah to the nation, says, "To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices today? Why are you here? Why are you doing these things? Is it because of our religion or because of a relationship? If it's because of a ritual and religion, it's wrong."
Right.
"Saith the Lord, I am full of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. And I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of rams or of he-goats. When you come to appear before me, Who hath required this at your hand to tread my course? Bring me no more vain oblations. Let your yea be yea and your nay nay. Come and worship God in spirit and in truth. Incense, prayer, is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with, is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. You might look good on the outside, but if you're wrong on the inside, you're wrong. You're wrong. And we need to come and reason together and get cleansed. Your new moons and your appointed feast, my soul hateth. They are a what? They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. Folks, come to God to worship Him. Lift up clean hands. Come and sing out of a clean heart. Let your motives be clean and God-honoring. Even in the fact that they were a sinful nation, even in the fact they were just going through the ritual of religion and not having a relationship, still God keeps inviting them to come and be clean. And God's inviting us today to come and be clean. Oh, but if you're doing the right thing, don't give up. Don't give in. Don't give over to what other people are doing. Don't say it's worthless, because to you it's precious, and to God it's precious too. So this was an invitation from God at an ungodly time. Lastly, is an invitation for cleansing at a sinful time. John says this, he says, if he says, I have no sin, you're a liar. We all have our issues. We all have our issues. This was an invitation to be forgiven. He says, though you're sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be as red as crimson, they should be as wool. Last month, we preached an evening service on this, talking about the radical cleansing. And that the issue about white as snow is that it's actually pristine nature of God. That's what He wants. He wants us to have a pristine nature. And it doesn't come from New Zealand. Okay? The issue is if people want, they want the purity, okay? God wants purity in our life. And then the other thing was, is that white should be as wool. Basically, wool that's dirty has to be processed to be clean. There's a process that's called repentance. And God invites us to do that today. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, it says, if my people, that's us, that's our nation. If my people, which are called by my name, that is definitely us, shall what? Humble themselves and pray. You know, to humble yourself, you won't rebel against the word of God anymore. To humble yourself, you'll accept God as what He says, not what you think He says. And pray. And seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. You know, a lot of people pray when they get caught. A lot of people find God when they're in a trap and they're between a rock and a hard place. They want God to get them out of their consequences. No, God wants you. He uses circumstances and consequences to get to you because He wants to make you new. He wants to restore a relationship with you. Then I will hear from heaven and what? And everybody read the next five words. And will forgive their sin and will heal their land. See, we need to understand When God says come, that's an invitation. How are you going to respond to it? How are you going to respond to it? You know, David had an issue with sin. You know, he did some pretty infamous stuff. And after he was called out by the prophet of God, Nathan, he gets right with God. And in Psalm 57, verse 51, verse 7, he says, purge me with hyssop. See, you can't get rid of your sin. All you can do is confess it. God forgives it. God forgives it. Ask God today to cleanse you, to purge you. To purge means to totally get rid of it, not to come back anymore. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I should be whiter than snow. Folks, that should be the desire of every one of us in here. When God looks down at us, we should be whiter than snow. We should be clean in front of God's eyes. We should be a vessel fit for His use. It's an invitation for cleansing at a sinful time. See, we know that God meets sinners where they are and cleanses them. But here is the real truth of this. Come to God as you are, but don't stay as you were.
Amen.
Come to God as you are today, but once you meet God, don't go back to that. Don't stay as you were. I'll close with this other illustration from Christ's ministry. There was a woman taken in adultery, and they all brought her there, and they said she was caught in the very act. She's a sinner. See, we think that we're okay if we don't sin as bad as somebody else. In God's eyes, we're still all sinful. We're a sinful nation. We're dirty, and we need to be cleansed. Wanting Christ to pass judgment on her so they could stone her to justify their position. And then what did Christ say? He says, he that's here without sin, let him cast the first stone. And the Bible and the story says in John chapter 8 that one by one they left, and then all of a sudden it's just Jesus and the woman standing there, and no one's around. And then Jesus says this. He says, where's your accusers? Where's all those that brought this accusation around? Because see, the issue with sin is just between you and God. You get the relationship right with God, you'll have it right with everybody else. And in verse 11 of John chapter 8, it says, as she said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more.
Amen.
Come to Jesus as you are, but don't stay that way. Let God change us. See, God is calling today. God is calling. Maybe you don't know Him as your Savior. Maybe if you died right now, you don't know if you would go to heaven or not. I got great news for you. Jesus died on the cross to forgive your sins. Because without a sacrifice, you could not get to heaven on your own. There's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God commended His love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He was buried. He died on the cross to pay our sin debt. He was buried. And He rose up the third day, and He ascended to heaven. When He rose up, He says, I have the power to forgive sins. He already proved that. I have the power to conquer death, which is the penalty of sin. I'll take it all away. I need you to repent. And then I'll give you eternal life. See, what we need to do is we need to come to Him. We need to cry out to Him to make us clean. And then we need to change. We need to change. God's spoken to your heart today. Don't leave here today without being right with God. If you need salvation, don't leave here today without having a relationship with Christ. This is the time for God to work. This is the time for us to respond. What will our answer be today? Will we revolt, or will we come and reason from God's word what He says to do and do it? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this time. Lord, I ask You for this time of invitation. Father, if someone does not know You,